everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and let's talk about some stuff I heard. It's been an interesting week. We had a lot of things going on here personally. We had my wife's mom and pa were coming up from South Georgia to pick up a load of angle iron, angle steel, whichever it is, mainly because her pa owns a RV park down on 301 in Nahunta, Georgia, Nahunta. It's called Mutt's Place, Mutt's Place. You can find it using Google Maps. I have put up some lovely photos and a YouTube video about the place. It's actually really nice. Anyway, if you're out and about and traveling and need a place to park your RV, it's quite nice. They have facilities there with restrooms and showers and washer and dryer. And he's built covers, fire pits. And he came to get some steel or iron, whichever it is, to build some park benches. Right now, there's wooden park benches, but he wanted to update it and have some metal park benches for supports. That way it'll hold up over time. It'll be nicer. So anyway, they were coming up to pick up a load, and we were planning to have a meal with friends and with family and everybody come over and meet them and that sort of thing. And it was going to be fun. I actually had worked so that I could get off early, and I bought some salmon to be prepared. Went ahead and seasoned everything and had the grill fired up. I needed to cook some chicken as well. So I smoked some chicken on the pellet grill. I got vegetables ready. Had them in the fridge. I went ahead and had the salmon ready. I was going to cook that. And it just so happens that they came up here, got the stuff, and had trouble. Now, in life, we normally think, I can handle anything. There's no problems I can't face. It's always great when things work out, and most of the time, things do work out pretty well, pretty easily, but there are times where you run into problems. There's times where we all have issues, and this was one of those cases. They had brought a trailer to haul off this steel. It's 2,500 pounds worth of steel. Let's just call it steel. At this point, does it matter? most of you don't know them anyway, so anyway, 2,500 pounds worth of steel. They went up to go pick it up. And while the people were loading it on, I guess the weight caused a flat in one of the tires. And of course, Bignall was like, I can't believe I got a flat, man. I just put four brand new tires on there. It shouldn't be flat. Well, yeah, it shouldn't be. But sometimes things go wrong. And this is one of those cases. So the place wouldn't allow the steel to be put on the trailer with a flat tire. They were like, all right, we got to take this off of here. You need to fix the flat and then come back. So he pulled off to the side and replaced the tire, and he'd brought a spare with him, you know, which is the right move. Got the steel loaded on, and they went to drive away and got another flat. But at least they were off and on their way, and were able to find a place in Darlington, South Carolina, a place called Mavis Tires. They don't normally do work on trailer tires, but there was a really nice guy there that was willing to help them. And the guy was like, let me take a look at it. Maybe there's something I can do. And so he was able to not only fix the first tire, but fix the second tire as well. It turned out that one of them had a valve stem issue, but he fixed both and went around and pumped up all the tires. So they were all good. And when they got ready to pay him, he was like, no, there's no charge. There's no big deal. And they were like, no, we need to pay you. You know, we appreciate the work. And he was like, no, really, it's fine. It didn't take no time at all. And they were like, okay, well, here's, you know, some cash. And they kind of gave him some cash to thank him for his time, you know, because time is money, right? And it was a nice thing for the guy to do. It was a nice thing for everybody to kind of help each other out. So I'm glad it worked out. But they were getting ready to leave and had another issue. My wife had then come home and had made it in the house when they called and said, we need you to come get us. We're broke down. It was like, what now? So come to find out, the fuel pump had gone bad. As they were getting ready to pull out of the tire place, the fuel pump decided that it was just done. That was it. this is a common problem for certain models of Chevy and GMC trucks. Bicknell has a 97 GMC Sierra, and he's already replaced it five times. This was the sixth time that it needed to be done. Well, the first time he did it, he actually took it to somebody and they took the bed off to get to it. The second time, he has a lift at the shop there where he lives, and he was able to drop the fuel tank and get to it. But he said that was awful dirty work and he didn't want to do that anymore. And he had heard about this being a common problem with that model of truck. So he had cut a hole in the truck bed to get to it. Now, if you have anybody that you know that has one of these trucks, one of these year model trucks, everybody seems to have this problem. I looked on YouTube and there's not a limit to how many videos are out there about this particular problem with this particular year model. Not just this year. I mean, it was like, I want to say from 96 to 2004, this was a pretty common problem with Chevy and GMC. So anyway, a lot of people had cut access panels through the truck bed to get to it. Some people had gone to the lengths of building like a hinge and a little latch door that they could hook. And, you know, Bicknell had kind of done that with his. He left the hole and then put like a semi-truck mud flap over it and had that drilled into the bed, and then kept a chain over it to kind of keep it in place. But that allowed him to have a chain on access all the time, and it also allowed him to keep that flap covered, and then the flap also helped with keeping out debris. So anyway, so we needed some way to get them back here and a way to get the steel back here, and we couldn't physically move the trailer of steel without moving the truck first. But luckily, one of our good friends, Cheryl, knew somebody with the flatbed and called, and they came and was able to pick him up and talk to the guy, a real nice guy, a fellow, the name is Danny, Danny Howell, H-O-W-L-E, real nice guy. We asked him, said, hey, can you just bring this to the house? Because we can fix this at the house. He's like, sure, absolutely, no problem. And so he hooked it up, and I was able to hook up the trailer of steel to my truck and bring it here to the house. Meanwhile, I was still cooking. I had left the pellet grill going. I didn't really tell anybody about this, but when I left the house, I had the pellet grill on. I'd already cooked the chicken. I'd already cooked some of the salmon, but I had two large fillets that I still had to cook. Well, when I left here to go handle the issue with the trailer and the truck, I decided to leave the pellet grill going because I had it set at 255. I checked the pellets. I had plenty of pellets. And I was like, I just want to leave the pellet grill on. That way I don't have to cool it down and then reheat it up later, because heating it up takes a little while. I want to keep that smoky flavor on the inside. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to leave this going. And then as soon as I can get home, I'm going to try to throw the salmon on there. And that should help the timing of this. Well, waiting for the guy with the rollback took a little time. And then, of course, he had to get it hooked up and put on there. And we had to get the trailer of steel hooked up. And it took a little bit longer than I anticipated. I had told my wife, I said, hey, you know, as soon as you get home, how about throw those salmon patty or the salmon fillets on the grill with the cedar planks. And that way, at least it's going. I didn't tell her to check the pellets, and I should have. So we get here to the house, we get the trailer, you know, get the trailer all lined up. The guy with the rollback takes the truck off, and I'm looking to pay the guy, but I'm like, okay, when do I ask him this? Or can I run over here and check the grill real quick? And I found a moment to go check the grill real quick, and it had just run out of pellets. I looked inside the hopper and there was nothing in there. I was like, oh no. And I looked down at the temperature and it was only 71 degrees. And I'm going, oh no. So quickly, I put some pellets in it and I watched the temperature and I was like, please, 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 please don't go out. If you ever have a pellet grill and it runs out of pellets and it gets cool enough, it'll shut itself down. And when it shuts itself down, it takes a while for it to cue back up. And I really was kind of, it's like, you know, getting to be dinner time and I got people showing up to eat and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be really bad. But listen, it's all friends and family. And I was like, no one's going to be ultimately upset. There's other stuff to eat in here if we have to eat that. But if they want to wait for the salmon, they'll wait for the salmon. And And that's true. So anyway, I was able to get the grill going again. It didn't need to cool down and go through the cycles. Everything queued back up. It started smoking again. We ended up eating about an hour later than we anticipated, but that was fine. Everything else worked out. We were able to offload the truck and get it in the driveway. We had a moment to figure out what all we needed to do and decided to attack it the next day. Now, in town here in Florence, South Carolina, we have many auto parts stores that you have a choice from. And over the years, I've used different ones, AutoZone, Advanced Auto, O'Reilly, Napa, I mean, you name it. Typically speaking, my best experience has come from using our O'Reilly here in town. I don't know why, but they seem to have better customer service. And at the end of the day, if I got to spend money with somebody, I would rather use somebody that I'm happy with their customer service of than somebody else, right? So I looked online. They opened up at 7:30 on Saturday. I told Bicknell, I said, listen, I know you get up early. I'll set my alarm. I'll get up early. We can have some coffee and then go ahead and remove the parts that we need. And if you want, we could be right up there right when they open the door and get our stuff and get that stuff plugged in there. Because I knew they had a long drive to get back. So, you know, we had our coffee. We talked. The sun came up. I said, hey, here's the opportune time. So we went outside to remove the fuel filter and the fuel pump. He did tell me that he had not removed the fuel filter and replaced it ever. Now, this truck is a 97. So what is that? 26 years old? Yeah. Truck's 26 years old. Never had a new fuel filter. So I had looked online. Luckily, a lot of people made some YouTube videos about where to find it and how to get it off. If you need to know, it's right underneath the driver door. All you do is slide your little body up underneath the driver door, and you'll see it right behind the frame. As you scoot your body back, you'll see that the frame is angled inward, and it's right inside the frame. You need two wrenches, 13/16 for the big end of the fuel filter, and a 5/8 for the fuel line. And you just twist them and bring it off. Now, we had some fuel stuck in the line, and I did get covered in fuel. That was fun. Just keep that in mind so that your face isn't directly under it whenever things start coming apart. The frame will catch most of the fuel, and it will drain. If you're downhill, like I was in the driveway, it went downhill towards the front of the truck. So that actually helped out a lot. But anyway, we got the filter off. No problem. I had to detach a bracket that was holding the filter to the frame itself. The bracket took a 13 millimeter, but I was able to take that off with no problem and remove that filter. And then I climbed in the back of the truck. We had to move the toolbox to get to it, move the toolbox, take the little flap off and get to where the fuel pump was. So got the fuel pump, was able to use a scraping tool to kind of scrape some of the dust and debris and dirt that had kind of accumulated up there. This truck is used on a farm. Bicknell has used this not only on his RV park area as he's developed it, but he has a tree farm that he farms trees, pine trees. And so, you know, over the years of driving across the fields, a lot of this dust and debris and rock and everything else has kind of accumulated up in there. We used a blower to kind of blow it off initially. And then once we got to where we were unhooking the electrical and the four different lines for the fuel, we used a vacuum. It's really helpful to vacuum it up. That way it's not falling into the tank. So I was able to, like a dentist uses his tools, you know, how they're in your mouth and sometimes they're scraping and they use the little vacuum thing to suck the stuff out. I did the same thing around the gas tank. I was able to hold the vacuum there, scrape around it, and let the vacuum suck all the debris into it. So that was super helpful. We took the parts with us up to O'Reilly so we could make sure that they matched up the right stuff. The guy at O'Reilly was super helpful. We were able to find the fuel filter was only like $11. And then the fuel pump was 100 and whatever. I think total it was like 120 or something like that. Anyway, it wasn't crazy expensive. especially when you consider the fact that the fuel pump itself has electronics and plumbing lines and all that other stuff that goes on. There's a lot of moving parts on there that need to be done right. And it's better to just go ahead and buy the nice new one than try to go to a junkyard and get another junky one that ain't going to work, especially when it's a common problem with this vehicle. So anyway, got the new fuel sending unit, new fuel pump, the filter and everything. Took it back to the house. I was able to pop the filter on there with no problem at all. In the process of putting on the filter, though, I looked up the fuel line, and one of his fuel lines was crimped. And I got it on camera. I made the little YouTube video. Matter of fact, it's on my YouTube page now if you're looking around or perusing or curious. And it dawned on me that if he's not getting fuel from this fuel line, this may be why the pump is going bad to start with. It's very possible that working on the farm there, maybe a log or a rock or something got pushed up in there and maybe crimped the fuel line, which could, in a sense, cause problems to your fuel pump. Also, the fact that the fuel filter had never been changed could also cause a problem. So all of it was a learning experience for me, and also for him. I mean, I could kind of tell him about his fuel line, and he was like, oh, we got to fix that. And so anyway, we popped the new fuel filter in, got everything lined up with the fuel pump, got it in, went to go change it or went to go try it out to make sure everything cranked up. And the battery died. And we thought, oh, crap, did we leave something on? And was there a dome light on or the radio left on or something we didn't recognize? So we thought, okay, maybe it's just a thing where we could jump it off. And right about the time I said that, my buddy Danny Shaw pulled up. Old Danny to the rescue. Danny's like, hey, buddy. I said, hey, pull up right here. We'll jump this off real quick. And he's like, okay. So we hooked up the jumper cables, went to crank it up, and it cranked up with no problem. So we fixed the fuel problem. Now we just needed to address the battery problem. So we kind of let it run for a while, and we figured, okay, maybe something was run down, and the alternator, the way this should work is the alternator should alternate the current and get the charge of the battery back to where it's supposed to be. Well, that turned out not to be the problem because we unhooked everything and then went to crank it again, and the battery was dead. So we're like, okay, the battery is dead. And it was interesting because it's one of those things where you think, golly, when it rains, it pours, and it just one problem after another problem. And yeah, but also what a perfect timing. There's nowhere to be. It's a Saturday. Got great weather. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was just a beautiful day. We had friends that could help. We had tools there. Seemed like a simple fix. We got the money to fix the problem. I mean, you look at the problems that happened and the things in the order that they happened in, it all worked out. Like all of it. We had people with the know-how, with the muscle, with the, the tools, everything. Everything worked out. So, I don't know. We went back to O'Reilly. I saw the guy when I came in. I said, we didn't spend enough money earlier. We decided to come back and see you again. And he's like, cool. So we told him about the battery. And he's like, man, I tell you. I said, yeah, but, I like you guys. And you've always given me great customer service. So I'm going to keep coming back because of that. So anyway, shout out to O'Reilly here in Florence, South Carolina. You guys are doing a great job. And I'll continue to use you as long as your customer service is so great. I've used them driving across the country up to Maine. And every time I've ever needed to stop in on the way, they've always been super helpful. So customer service goes a long way. So thank you. So anyway, got a new battery in. Everything's good. They were ready to rock and roll and got hooked up to the trailer and went on their happy, merry way with all kinds of new parts in the truck. So they should be good to go for a while. Oh, and Danny was able to straighten out the fuel line. So that was super helpful too. See, it all worked out. Good stuff. Good friends, good family, good Lord, some good living. I like it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody involved. My wife was kind of fretting. I was kind of fretting. They were kind of fretting. And it all worked out. So, I'm glad he had that access door that made the job a lot easier. If you know anybody with that model of truck, you're going to have a similar problem. You probably know that they already have an access door as well. Or if they haven't, tell them, hey, got you a little access door right here. This would be super helpful to do this next time. And if you haven't changed your fuel filter, do that. It did dawn on me that I need to change my fuel filter. So I'm going to be looking for where that's at on my Dodge Ram and get that changed. So let's talk about stuff I heard, okay? Because this is the Stuff I Heard podcast. And I talked enough about trucks and fuel filters and all that fun stuff. I'm a big fan of Neil Brennan's podcast, Blocks. It's based on his Netflix special. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's really good. It's a comedy special, but it's also sort of an introspective look on not only his brain, but everyone's brain and the things that we look at in our own lives that we think are blocks, things that we have to find ways around, obstacles. He's a very thoughtful guy, but episode 23 that he did recently is with Pete Holmes. I like Pete Holmes a lot. Pete Holmes is he's very thoughtful, thought-provoking. He's a comedian. He has several shows that have been on HBO, and he's got another one on TV that's coming up. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. But he has a podcast called You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. I've been listening to it for years and years. Very good podcast. He does a lot of introspective learning about himself and tries to learn tricks and things to make him happier. And in this, he talks about how he has some things that he's learned and things that he's trying to get over and things that he's trying to realize about the world and about religion and our place in it and God and mushrooms and, you know, plants that cause them to heal. It's a very interesting discussion. I enjoyed every minute of it. It's only like an hour and 17 minutes long. I've been listening to it while I drive down the road. It's been great. I loved it. It's awesome. I've also listened to Whitney Cummings, stand-up comedian, podcaster, director, author, actor, you name it. She created Two Broke Girls and several other TV shows. She did a podcast with a porn star named Angela White, who is very fascinating. It was an interesting podcast. A lot of stuff I didn't know. I actually didn't even know who she was until this conversation. And I was like, oh, wow, what an interesting life. And, you know, I sort of approached this podcast with the mentality of I want to build community and I want people to think about their life in ways that relate, because there's a lot of the media out there that wants to talk about how different we are and how it's us versus them. And we need to be afraid of people different than us. And I've been more of the mentality of the more we learn about the people around us, the more we realize we have in common. I'm also a believer in the fact that I can get on here and talk about awful TV shows where people get their heads cut off and there's blood and gore and guts, and that's okay. But I feel weird. Even me, I feel weird talking about sex on this and the fact that we all do it. We all have sex in some way or another. And yet it's still weirdly uncomfortable to talk about, and especially on a podcast. I thought this was a very interesting podcast to listen to. I didn't watch it on YouTube, but it is on YouTube as well. And I pulled it up so I could remember to talk about it. And I'm really impressed with Whitney's studio, the way she's got it set up now. It's a round table facing them. I know everybody listening to this doesn't care, but it's something that I think about when I think about what I want my podcast to eventually become or be. I'm interested to see the development of these different people that I'm fans of, the way they're approaching what they're doing and figuring out tricks along the way. This is Whitney's 191st episode. So she's about 200 episodes in now. And to me, she's really figuring out what she wants and how she wants it to look and everything else. But yeah, very interesting podcast. Let's talk about some stuff that I've seen, because I've actually been watching a little bit of TV. I asked people for suggestions of what they were into, and some people mentioned, hey, have you checked out this show called Manifest? And I had heard about Manifest. It was on television, like regular terrestrial television, for a long time. three seasons or so. And I think it was like NBC or something like that. Yeah, NBC. Came out in 2018. The show apparently was popular, but NBC wanted to change their format and do something different, and they decided to cancel the show. Well, fans were got on social media and they were like, oh man, I love this show. Why don't you guys kill it? It was a great show. So Netflix came back and they were like, I'll tell you what, we'll put on another season. So they signed them up for a fourth season. And I had heard about it, but I didn't really, there were other things I wanted to watch, other things I was invested in to watch. And so I didn't get to it until this week. This week I watched the first season. It was pretty great. It's an interesting idea for a show. I did not think it was going to be what it is. Excuse me. I thought it was like a sort of a Twilight Zone version of a plane crash and what happens afterwards. And it wasn't. The short premise of the show, basically, let's see what's written on here. I'll just read you what's online because that may be better than what I could say. Okay, so when Montego Air Flight 828 landed safely after a turbulent but routine flight, the crew and passengers were relieved. But in the span of those few hours, the world had aged 5 years. And after mourning their loss, their friends, families, colleagues had given up hope on them. Now, faced with the impossible, they're all given a second chance. But as their new realities become clear, a deeper mystery, and some of the returned passengers soon realize that they may be meant for something greater than they ever thought possible. And I was like, okay, cool. It was interesting to, it's almost like someone had the thought of, what if you weren't here for 5.5 years and life continued on and they thought you were dead? What would you do with your life here? It was an interesting, I could see the whole pitch of the show to a room full of execs going, all right, so what if? And it's a fun what if, because there's some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly. And this tackles all of those angles. Now, the one thing I wasn't expecting was them hearing voices and seeing things that guided them. And they start calling them callings. I got a calling. Did you get a calling? I got a calling. It wouldn't let me alone. It told me I had to do this. It told me I needed to do this. And they start solving crime and they start solving mysteries and helping each other out in little ways. And it started off pretty cool. But now I'm on season two. And the callings, I think, now has turned into a drinking game. I don't drink while I watch the show. It's usually in the morning when I'm having coffee. But I could see where if someone were like, we're going to watch an episode tonight. And every time someone says calling, take a shot. I thought, they're going to be dead by the first 30 minutes, man. Because they say callings a lot. The show's still cool. The characters, I like most of them. I can see why this was popular. It does bother me that during much of the first season, they're doing a lot of things, and I'm thinking to myself, who's working? Like, they're doing a lot of stuff with a lot of moving parts here and gas spent, and who's paying for all this? I mean, I know it's a TV show and you're supposed to spend reality, but there is moments where you do have a chance to think about reality and you go, why am I distracted by the fact of this guy hasn't been working and he's still spending money and driving all over the place. And I got him a room here and I'm driving to this place and I'm taking a flight and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So anyway, if you've seen Manifest and I'm late to the show, tell me what you think. If you haven't tried it and you're thinking about trying it, or you do try it and you like it or don't like it, tell me, talk to me. I'm kind of curious. I'm going to keep watching it. It's kind of cool. I did tell my wife that I finished season one and I kind of wanted to jump all the way to the last season and just watch the last season now. I said, I know that the show is good and blah, blah, blah. I said, but I kind of just want to jump to the end and find out what happened. So anyway, yeah. So there's four seasons. I'm looking on Google right now. It says there is no fifth season. They wrapped everything up. All the people that are involved decided that was it. And yeah, five seasons of Manifest right there. And the last season they did specifically by and for Netflix. So anyway, that's it. That's all I got for you people. Thank you all for being part of this fun little project of what I'm doing. Thank you for letting me know you enjoy the show and are involved and have feedback. And it all helps me just decide to do another one after another one after another one. I'm liking the way this looks in my background. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, I'm liking the way the camera is angled here with all of the stuff behind me with the Boba Fett and the lightsabers and the Legos. And man, it looks neat. I am considering what I'm going to do whenever I have guests, because that's going to be the next thing I got to figure out. So I'm going to have to tackle that at some point here soon. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't yet, please leave us a review. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to change. If you want to be part of the podcast, let me know. We can always do this over Zoom. You can sit comfortably in your house with no pants, because I can't see, you know, past your wherever you stick the camera. I don't know why I said no pants. It's just kind of silly. Am I wearing pants? That's kind of a weird thought. Can't see me, right? So who knows? Maybe I'm sitting here in just my underwear. I'm not, but I mean, just whatever. Suspension of disbelief, right? So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.